everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Sword and Slime Podcast, a show dedicated to RPGs, JRPGs, and MMORPGs. I'm your host, Ryan. I have Trung in the co-host seat, and tonight we're going to be discussing .hack. And not just the games, primarily the games, but the universe of itself, because I think between Trung and I, it's one of our favorite universes to always revisit, especially when we're growing up. Like, we have a lot of reminiscing to do here on tonight's episode.
But hell yeah.
Hell to the yeah. But before we get into that, Trung, what's up, dude?
Oh, you know, I gotta get ready for the Final Fantasy expansion and stuff. It seems like I've been invited by two different groups to raid for them, and I haven't said no to either, so it looks like I'm gonna end up raiding for 4 days.
Dude, you can't be playing two groups. You can't do that.
I can, because I'm really good.
God. So essentially I have like T minus a couple of days before Trung starts blowing me off for Final Fantasy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey dude, wanna play Tribes of Midgard? Hey. You wanna play Phasma? Anything? RuneScape? I have some more on Final Fantasy later. Because I'm kind of about to get ripped into it too, but
we just do a whole episode on it, you know?
Yeah, that too. I mean, it's bound to happen. Hopefully some things are in the works in the background about that, but for some updates on my end, my puppy is still a demon. He is about to be, I can feel it because I pick him up all the time, but I guarantee you he's either right at it or about like right about 20 pounds right now at 12 weeks. So
massive. My puppy also, he got really excited and was playing with the husky that I have, who is much older. He ran like, you know, because they're puppies, they have the zoomies. So he was running really fast and he bumped into my bad knee and popped out my kneecap, which hasn't happened to me in years. So it was a really, it was a really, really bad feeling as I fucking like popped it out again. I was like, oh shit, it fucking hurts.
Damn, dude, that used to happen to you all the time in high school.
Yeah, and I haven't felt in like years because I haven't had to exert any kind of pressure on my knee. So the puppy ran into my leg, and then I was freaking just on the ground. It was
done. Did you puke?
Nah.
I would have puked. I would have been like, bleh.
Yeah, like I felt it move out, and then I had to quickly like extend my leg to move it back in.
I'm about to cancel the episode, dude. Moving on from that nasty shit, I also set up two new sponge filters in my fish tanks because I have two fish tanks. I don't really talk about that, but I fucking love fish tanks. Like, I love setting up an ecosystem. So I had some new filters. We got a betta fish 2 days ago. It's a koi beta. So it's got like the orange and black spots like koi fish do. So we essentially rescued it, you know, from dying in a fucking cup full fish shit. Cause we have a main 20 long tank that have like catfish in there. The quarries. So corridoras, they're the cute ones. So we have like panda quarries, emerald quarries, Venezuelan quarries. They're like gray and orange. We have shrimp in there, amanos and cherry shrimp. We have tetras in there. They're like the first OG group, because I got them to cycle my tank way back in the day. We have a neurite snail in there who just loves eating all the algae. And then a bunch of plants and Moroccan wood and some type of rocks and not gravel, but substrate. So pretty cool. So we said my dad gave me a 5.5 gallon way back when, and that was my first tank. Actually, like 2 years ago, I guess. And so now it's my like plant and baby shrimp tank, but we put a betta in there and we've got like two pieces of giant wood with holes in them. So I can fit Anubis plants in there. Cause they grow, they eventually wrap their roots around like rocks and wood. They don't like being buried under substrate. So, that's like the biggest thing that's going on with me. Just diving deep into my fish tanks. The betta looks cool. I'll post a picture later. Sam took a cool one before the waters are getting cloudy from the wood, because the wood like it leaches into the water and it's fucked. But
So the burning question is, when are you going to start getting into bonsai trees?
Never. That's just, no. That's beyond that's beyond me. I would, dude, you know what? I would like one. Because you see all those, like, now, you know, my phone's, you know, my Pixel phone's listening to me. Thanks, Google. But now my Instagram's going to be full of those, like, bonsai kits. You know, like, $60 and you get the tree and some sand and this and fertilizer and that and that and that. It's, like, great. But maybe one drunk. Maybe one.
All right, perfect.
Yeah, but moving on to the news of Sword and Slime. Just want to let everyone know, we have a new blog post on the website. It's about our stickers. So you can, if you've never seen our stickers before, it's all about showing you what they look like, how you're going to get them. But yeah, it's a real short read. Just want to let everyone know that we actually have a blog attached to our website. So new blog post. We actually sent out some stickers recently to fans. Shout out to Loch Ness and a couple others. Been kind enough to post pictures of our stickers in the Discord. Pretty cool to see that the stickers are going to be on other people's water bottles, but mine. Like all my, Charlie, like all my friends here, I'm just like, can you put this on your water bottle?
So water bottles are the best place to put it, I guess.
Yeah. So like all my friends, like half of them who don't even like listen to the show, they just have, they're rocking the sticker. I'm like, thank God, just anything. But it's cool that actual fans have them. Now also, oh dude, I just whacked the shit out of my desk with my knuckle. To talk about Final Fantasy, Trung brought this to my attention a day ago. Final Fantasy 14 or Final Fantasy Reborn is having a login event for returning players. There's some stipulations. Essentially your account has to have been inactive, or if your account was active, it has to be at least inactive for 30 days prior to redeeming this offer. Or not offer, but just be able to log in for 2 weeks free without a sub. And not have to like make a whole new account for a trial mode. So it's pretty cool. It's to build hype towards the new expansion coming out. And Trung, you said you're using it to blitz through the story, right?
Yeah, so I can get ready for the expansion, because you have to do the story to do the expansion, or you can just pay a boost to skip it. Why would I do that, you know?
Yeah, I cannot believe that's a thing. I mean, I guess if you're like a content creator and you don't really give a fuck and you're like, time to make a video on YouTube, and then skip to level 60 and not know anything about the lore.
I mean, it's also like, for like the WoW players who are now like leaving, you know, WoW en masse. And yeah, they want to just do the end game content, so they'll just boost and skip through everything.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I was watching, what's his name? Oh, dude, I'm going to butcher his name.
Asmongold?
Yeah, I was watching his videos on New World recently. But then, yeah, he talks about leaving WoW and shit, so because of the recent events at Blizzard. So it's like, oop. But causing a mass exodus there.
Yep.
But yeah, it's cool. I just want to bring it out there. Trung's already playing it. I don't know if he's even going to play with me, but Ben and I also,
jeez,
I know you're a bully, but, Darkworld and I, AKA Ben, we created new accounts, and which is a process of itself. Just go through Mogstation. If you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, or do know, create a new account, the complete pack's on sale. Because Square Enix is having a massive sale right now on all like the base game expansions and complete packs. But if you make a new account and do the trial mode, like Trung was saying earlier offline, the trial mode is like unlimited. Like you just get, you know, you have a level cap and you can't, I think you're saying, well, you can't add friends.
Yeah, you can't have a friends list. But beyond that, you can do like pretty much everything that you normally would be able to in the game.
Yeah, so it would behoove you, even if you have a main account, make a new account, do the trial mode, and if you like it and you get that MMO itch, buy the complete pack that's on sale for $23. Essentially, it's $24 because it's $23.99. And you, on top of getting all of the expansions, you get 30 days of subscription on top of the complete game. So it's a way better deal than just, like on my main account, I would have to buy... like it wants me to buy the latest expansion to get the backlog of expansions, but then I don't get a 30-day subscription on top of that. So it's actually a way better deal just to do what I just said. Just want to throw that out there. We are playing on the server Primal, and how Final Fantasy is, there's like servers and then there's worlds attached to the servers. So any world under Primal we'll be able to play with each other, because you can move freely between worlds. But yeah, we are on the Primal server. So that's really all I got for the news. Tron, do you have anything else noteworthy for Sword and Slime?
No, I think that's about it.
Cool. Yeah, great. That's the episode. See you later. So here it is. Dot hack. The topic of the night. Trung and I, have been fans of Dot Hack since middle school? Because this...
Yeah, it aired on Adult Swim, right?
Yeah. Dot Hack sign actually was Toonami. And so was even Twilight. So they were both Toonami shows. And we were... I think we were interested because of Code Lyoko, right?
Yeah, because it was kind of similar. In a sense.
Yeah, like this is before like isekais were a thing. This is before, you know, Sword Art Online like modernized the trapped in a game world sort of deal. Or like, you know, those series that really focus on disconnecting from reality in a MMORPG that's VR. So like we had like Code Lyoko on Cartoon Network, and then Dot Hack happened. And it was Dot Hack Sign, and then eventually it would be they would add Legend of Twilight. But what Dot Hack is, as an overview, it's a immersive VR MMORPG. The game itself is called The World, and it's based off of a fictional poem called The Epitaph of Twilight. And so you can actually Google and find this poem, just because, it's part of the lore of the game. It's not like a real, real poem or anything. But you can read this poem. And essentially the world is based off of that. And so there's enemies based off of the poem and all this and that. And there's, you know, secrets to the game that are tied to this poem. Like the poem is the anchor point to the series. And in every iteration of the series, whether it's the games, light novels, manga, anime, whatever, what have you, there's always... 90 out of 100 times, there's always individuals going comatose in game after encountering what they call the phases of Morgana.
It's basically the 7 deadly sins.
Right. So, and they're like in this, they're like invasive to the game world, and they're always trying to erase the game and everyone inside the game. And, characters unfortunate enough to interact with them or come in contact with them fall into a coma generally. So the fictional game company that runs the world is called Cyber Connect. And they attempt to cover up what's going on in the game because, you know, they're liable. And so generally what happens is like the protagonists, form a group, a party, and they go out and seek the truth, so to speak, and to save their friends, to make them, you know, wake up from their coma. Kind of like how Sword Online does with, you know, Asuna and all that jazz, but way worse because it's multiple people. But yeah. There's two game series. Like there's Dot Hack, the game series, there's Dot Hack GU, and I would say more people, at least this time around, are more familiar with Dot Hack GU just because it got a remake. It's available on the PlayStation 4 and 5. It's even available on PC, right, Trung?
I'm pretty sure it's on Steam.
Yeah, so again, it's one of those Bandai Namco games that is getting ported, kind of like all the Dynasty Warrior games and stuff. So Those are the two main game series, but there's multiple animes and manga, like I said before, and that includes Dahack Sign. There's Dahack GU. There's The Legend of Twilight, Dahack Roots, and, you know, just to name a few.
Yeah, there'll be more later.
Yeah, there's a lot of spinoffs. There's a lot of, you know, kind of like how popular animes or even mangas do now, how they like backtrack to, you know, prequels or to tell stories that, you know, run parallel to the main story. Because there's a lot of interesting characters in these series and that like bleed through the series too. When they're like not technically meant to, they just show up because like the timelines are, you know, concurrent. But yeah, it is a deep series. It's, like I said, one of our favorites, and we wanted to talk about it today. So the first game, like the pretty much the first exposure game wise, because I picked up the game before actually like finishing Dahack Sign, because back then on Toonami, Dahack Sign was a Friday night. Like I still remember like rushing home Friday night to watch the episode on Toonami, you know, because back then we're not binging shit like we are on streaming services. But
yeah, you gotta wait like the next day to see what happens.
Yeah, and so Dahack Infection came out alongside Dahack Sign, and the character, like the focal points for the characters, were different from the game and anime. Some of the characters actually bleed over. But Dahack Infection, you know, it was crazy at the time to play that game. And along with Dahack Infection, there'd be later games called Mutation, Outbreak, and Quarantine. I never made it past Mutation. And unfortunately, GU has been the only series that's got a remake. And you can't get these four games without breaking the bank. Like, you'll see them on eBay, you'll see them on Amazon for like over $100. It's like, holy shit.
I think your best bet is just to emulate it at this point.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely Google them, because they have some of the sickest like game case art that I remember for like JRPGs back then. But this series, you know, they focused on Kite as one of the main protagonists, Black Rose as his like essentially best friend forged through facing adversity in the series. And
she's
then
a
Kite's
female heroine, you know?
Yeah. And she's a really good one at that. Plus Black Rose, what a cool name. And she also was a two-hander. So she's sick. She had a great sword. There's Orca, which was Kite's best friend, and a legendary player that has a lot of, like, you uncover, like, Kite, we'll get onto it. And then there's Balmung, which is another legendary player in the game. So Kite, how it starts off, Kite is invited to play the world by his best friend Orca, and he doesn't know anything about the game, and he doesn't even realize Orca is a freaking legendary player. And so while Kite is being shown around by Orca, like, in, they have zones in this game. You warp to a zone and they encounter one of the phases we talked about, and Orca goes comatose. And so Kite starts a mission, like a soul mission, to just bring his friend back. And because Kite, through the encounter, realizes, you know, he's got a special ability. It's called Data Drain, where you strip an enemy of its attributes and level, but also has a special effect against the phases. Pretty much like in the episode of South Park with the WoW episode, where like Stan's dad has like that sword that they have to download into the game. That's what Data Drain is in the world. It's like that special ability tied to...
He gets the Twilight Bracelet, which is what the series was named after in the anime, which lets him do the data draining from the first encounter.
And not everyone can see it. So Like it's invisible to a lot of players. It's pretty cool. So he meets Kite meets Black Rose, because Black Rose's brother is in a coma as well. And they form a party and they meet like Balmung and all these other characters, interesting characters along the way, to finally crack the case wide open. And it's a fucking journey. It's a long journey. These games were in typical JRPG fashion, like 60 plus hours long, I think, like just because of the grinding it allows you to do, the deep story that's tied to it. And you know, it's a brutal game. The boss fights were fucking brutal. That's why I only made it to Mutation. The game was just so time consuming. And back then, like other games were coming out, like, I think we were on the tail end, or like, Mutation came out right before Kingdom Hearts, maybe. I can't remember, but some big game was coming out and I was like, uh-oh. So I lost interest. Because by then, like, Sign was done, Twilight was done. So yeah, I lost interest, but was doing more of reading the manga and stuff. But fun fact, I have the box collection of Dahak Sign. So still. And it's like prestige box. It's pretty cool. But yeah, so I played Infection and Mutation, and I loved that the zones were massive in this game, like too massive. Like it was one, you know, it suffered from like an empty world, so to speak, in the PvP, or not PvP, but in like the battle areas. The boss fights were brutal, like I said, severely punishing if you didn't come prepared with like items. If you were underleveled, you would know it. And you were fucked, and you had to leave and grind and come back. I did like the pet system. So in Dahak Sign, you see a lot of it, but they have like these little cute mounts that are like a cross between like a mule and I don't even know, dude, like a mule and a cub or something.
Yeah.
Or like an Eeyore, like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. I don't even know, dude. I can't even explain them, but they're cute. And in the game, they have like pet shops in the world in each map, and you can like raise them with items, and then eventually you unlock a mount and you don't have to walk ever again. But yeah, they're super cute. I liked, so basically what this game does really well, and even I'm playing Dahak G right now, and my favorite part is what I call the meta world, and what I've seen people call it online, the meta world of the Dahak series, because in these games, they do a good job convincing you that you are playing an MMORPG. Like, the game has a mail system, so you're constantly getting mail from the NPCs in-game that progress the story, or they're just random. Like, I remember going to the main menu within the game just to see if I had any new mail. There was a news system attached to it. So you can log out of the world, and then you have like a main menu hub, and it had like your mail, the news, and even gaming form. And you could see like threads and stuff. Like, you literally felt like you're on game FAQs or something tied to the world. Or, you know, I'm thinking like Simple Memo, where they have their own thread or their own discussion boards, stuff like that. The party system was cool. There's party dialogue like in any other JRPG. If you ran around the world, they would phase in, you know, play, NPCs, but mimicked player characters to like populate, to make it feel like people were warping in or, you know, logging in for the first time of the day. People were logging off. People were running around. They had text blurbs above their head as if they were typing. Like, it made me feel like I was playing Phantasy Star online, because back then on the Xbox, Phantasy Star was around. So like, it had that vibe. Obviously, thinking now, Trung, how amazing that, you know, even GU, how amazing it would feel if like we had the NPC count that we see in like Grand Theft Auto, or, you know, dare I say it, Cyberpunk, even though, you know, they're mainly clones, but Like, yeah, the game would feel so nuts if there was like hundreds of NPCs on screen. But they do the meta world really well, and they still do it really well with GU. But I will say the combat was a chore. Like, it was simple, but it wasn't all that interesting to do. But the world made up for it. And also, to tie in with the game, there were DVDs that came, at least with Infection and Mutation, there's DVDs that came with the games to further the story or tell the story from a different viewpoint. And mainly it was Black Rose, Black Rose's viewpoint. So it was really cool. And you got to see a lot of people, like Black Rose. Well, you got to see people from Black Rose's point of view and their struggles. And you got to see more of a struggle with her brother and her family, which you get to see in the LN, which is the series was called Another Birth. And that kind of tied into the games of Infection and Mutation that came out around the same time, you know, in like Borders and Barnes. And I remember reading it in Borders, and then I passed them on to Trung. And Trung, you still have them, don't you? Or at least some of them.
I think I have them somewhere, just packed away.
Yeah. So really cool light novel. Actually, it came out as like a full blown novel, really super long, but
yeah.
That was from Black Rose's perspective, and you got to learn more about Kite and her world in the real world. Because in the anime, they kind of like they show you glimpses, but they kind of it's, you know, that they keep players anonymous from their real world selves a lot of time in the series, and then they kind of like form special reveals around them, especially in Dahak Sign. But yeah, it was just really cool how the light novel tied in with the DVDs and the games themselves. But yeah, Trung, did you play any of those games?
I did not, but I watched the anime related to the games for this specific set of series anyway.
Yeah, and which one was that? Was that Sign or Twilight?
Twilight is what I watched. I never watched Signs either, really.
Damn, dude. Well, so Twilight was like, it told more of like their accomplishments, because it was like more of like a lighthearted series, and like these a brother and sister, they win a contest, and so they get the avatars of the legendary players, quote unquote, Kite and Black Rose, and but they're exposed to like Balmung, and they're exposed to some legendary players who fought alongside Kite and Black Rose, so they get a lot of like secondhand storytelling from the party that was there, while they of course are fighting their own version of Morgana. But I would say it was more lighthearted than like Dahak Signs was fucking depressing. But yeah, so that's Twilight and Sign. That series focused on a wave master, which is a, you know, magic user in the game.
Mage.
Yeah, a mage named Tsukasa, a player character in the world. And he wakes up and finds himself in a dungeon in the game and realizes like he can't remember anything. So he's got short-term memory and doesn't even know how he got into the game. And he can't even log out of the game. And there's like this, I think it was like part of Morgana. I can't remember, but basically this ring that formed into like a big blob and would pierce people and put them in a coma or whatever. Like it would like, it would data drain them. And it was based off of Tsukasa's emotions. It was like this deep shit, like solo, like it really hit close home. Cause it was like a solo player in an MMO, like, you know, say you're trying to MMO for the first time without your friends. So it's like, there's that like, you know, really heavy vibes of isolation and people trying to pry into your like situation, whether they're trying to help you, use you, or harm you. Like Tsukasa faces all of that. And is very disinterested. Like at first, like the first couple episodes, Tsukasa doesn't even want to fucking do anything. Like she in real life, which is, you know, a reveal later, like I said earlier, like they do a huge reveal around it, but she doesn't She's disinterested in finding out the truth about herself. She just accepted the situation. So it's just very melodramatic, and they build the characters really well. And it's also crazy to think that some characters in that series would carry over to GU, which was like the newest series before it kind of like went dormant. For instance, Haseo is the protagonist in GU, and he was actually a character in Sign called Sora, who was like a famous PKer. And in GU, he's a famous PKKer. So it's cool. There's other characters that carry over, like Tsukasa, carries over in the infection game as a player called Elk, who has a cat AI, and in Sign there's a cat AI. Like, there's always a cat AI in these games.
Yeah, they're not supposed to exist, which is always the weird one, right?
Yeah. 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 And it's so weird, man, the dynamic with that. But they're a very strong party member, the cat people. I remember that. I liked the guilds they portrayed in the series, because again, kind of like Sword Art Online, guilds are like a huge part of the game, and the you know, players have identities tied to the guilds. So there's like the anti-PvP guild, the PvP only guild, stuff like that. There's a lot of dynamics going on, because the series is very PvP focused, which is really cool for an MMORPG nerd. So like, if you're a WoW player or something, EverQuest, whatever, but like, if you loved PvPing, you would vibe with this anime, because it showed a lot of PvP going on, and the effects of PvP on players in this game of virtual reality. So it was sick. And then it also meant like there was battles, right? So like the characters were able to fight each other and not just be locked into like PvE griefing, like in real life, you know,
killing their targets before they get to it.
Yeah. Like, oh, I waited 10 minutes for this to spawn and you took it from me. Thank you. but yeah. Do you have anything? You say you didn't even watch it, Signs, right?
So yeah, I don't know much about Sign. So
yeah, I will say this, because I looked on Crunchyroll and they removed it, but I have Hulu, and Hulu has Dahack Sign and Dahack Roots, and Roots is the anime version of GU. So I'm able to watch both of them again, even though I have the box set, but like, you know, I don't have to open the box set now. So I will be rewatching them after I beat the GU games, but they are on Hulu if you're looking to watch them. But yeah, moving on to Dahack GU. So this story is focused around Haseo. I would say it's a more guild heavy story, because they make some really cool guilds in this game. Again, PvP, you know, focus. But no Morgana this time. It's more perplex. Like, it's more perplexing storyline than Signs, I would say. So essentially, Haseo hunts what they believe at a time is a player named Tri-Edge, who has the avatar of Kite, which blew everyone away at the time trunk. Because remember, Kite was like the angel, like the perfect protagonist,
the hero and all that jazz.
Yeah, like essentially imagine making an evil version of Sora in Kingdom Hearts. Like, you say you have Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, and then 3 happen, but not the 3 we know, like the disappointment. But like 3 happens, and Sora is like a fucking menace, and he's like destroying worlds with his Keyblade. Like, that's what, like, the trailer of the game and then playing the game like blew everyone away. I was like, wait a minute, Kite's not evil. What the hell is this shit? And, you know, Kite or Tri-Edge, to even fan the flames even more, PKs Haseo's friend Shino, or his crush, I should say, and she goes into a coma. And so Shino, Haseo, and Ovan are like the main group, and they're in this guild, and I forget the guild name, but they like, it's like the Epitaph. I don't know. I can't remember, but they seek to unveil the secrets of the game, much like Kite and Black Rose did, like the original crew. And they look for like hidden areas and artifacts of the game. So essentially, Haseo is hunting down Tri-Edge to avenge Shino and bring her back. And, you know, the story unravels. Like, Ovan is very sinister to an extent because he's trying to save his sister, I think.
Yeah, it's his sister.
And also she, right. And it turns out, like, Shino sacrificed herself for this. But then Ovan is using Shino's sacrifice to edge Haseo on to use him. And it's like this huge complex thing, right? Like on the surface, Haseo's just like, my crush is like fucking in a coma. Like, how do I bring her back? But in the reality is like, she loves Ovan, and Ovan set this whole thing up to spur everything forward. And it's also the first time in a series where CC Corps or CyberConnect isn't actually the bad guys. Like, they actually have a team to like reverse what's going on. And that's where Haseo comes into play, and he joins the guild GU. Well, the guy's name is Raven, but it actually stands for GU, the unit. And they're trying to uncover, like, they introduce these things called avatars, which are essentially avatar, like, summoned versions of the phases of Morgana.
The giant mech robot.
Yeah, in like giant mech robot form. And Haseo gets Skeeth, whatever. He's like Skeeth, the giant reaper. Yeah. But yeah, so they introduce like avatars of the waves, and they're trying to uncover the secret of Tri-Edge and why people are going comatose and like all this shit. And Haseo is like slowly coming out of his shell, because Haseo had like the exact opposite start of Kite, where like he joins the game and he gets PK'd brutally. And so he becomes a legendary PKK'er, which is a player killing killer, or player killer killer. And essentially they hunt PVPers.
He basically got mad because he got scammed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's awesome. Like, the title itself is pretty cool, but yeah. So like, Haseo is a very hateful person, and he gets data drained by Tri-Edge. And so he's starting from the ground zero, and he's making more friends than he would have. Like, I'm playing it right now, and there's a part in the dialogue where he's like, I wonder if he didn't meet Ovan and Shino and didn't watch her, you know, fall into a coma, if he would be laughing with the friends he's made now, like they're laughing. And I was like, damn, dude. I was like, what's this rated? I thought this was rated for E for everyone, but why is this so deep?
Is it teen?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Teen. Yeah. Cause they say damn and hell in here, but Haseo is like, his story is very tragic. And I say that because they tell his story through multiple media, where you can't get Kite's story. Like, you can only get it through the games that aren't even offered anymore. And it's bullshit. But, you know, I love the LNs in manga, because they actually told different versions of the story. Like, they revealed Ovan's secret differently. Haseo, like, it's sad for Haseo. Like, in the manga, There's a woman that looks just like Shino, who's trying to be Haseo's friend, and she's from a PvE only guild, and he like hates her. But in the manga, you know, they start dating and they actually date. In the light novel, he gets no one. Like, he finds out Shino and Ovan are like in love, and then he's just alone. And I don't know about the anime. The anime I'm going to watch, but yeah, it was like very different endings, and I don't even know how the game tells it yet. Because I never made it past the second one, but now I have all four. But it's just his story's so tragic, dude.
He's a tragic hero in like every single like media that he's portrayed in, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, and like, you hate him at first because he is such a dick, but you definitely understand. It's like the best revenge story, but with like all these twists and turns. That he's like a puppet, but. I would say replaying the games now, it's aged for sure. Like, the zooming, like the character feels like you're fucking sliding on glass, and the combat's very boring. It's literally like two buttons. But the story makes up for it, and the characters make up for it. It has some of the best characters in the game universe, and the story is just, it's weaved so well. And I want to say, like, the combat's simple, but it's not as bad as Tales of Vesperia, where the port, you know, essentially broke combat for keyboard and mice. So there's that. You won't have to deal with that bullshit. I was telling Trung offline, like, I feel like I'm in high school again playing GU, because we played it, like, what was it, like 10th grade or 11th? Like, I can't even.
I think, yeah, it's around sophomore year.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like, you know, we're at the laundromat again. Your cats are shredding my fucking knees. Because so. I would wear jeans with, like, the knees cut out, and they would just jump and destroy me. Because we did a lot of Dynasty Warriors. We did a lot of Dahak.
Yeah, for sure.
And the GU series as a game had better quality of life stuff. Like, they actually notified you when you had mail. And they expanded on the meta. Like, the forms, there's multiple forms, multiple threads, multiple replies. Like, dude, I was looking at just yesterday, and I was like, holy shit. Like, am I in a solo game or what? Because, like, they expanded on the news, they expanded on the forms, the mailing is more real, and you get the reply and stuff. Like, and then when you log into the world, there's even, you know, there's the official form. So you get to see, like, fake posts for, you know, or fictional posts from admins and you know, all that stuff. It's just, it's nuts how much they have fleshed out. There's even a part where it's like, it's videos from players, like, videos are uploaded from players in game, but it's all fictitious, you know, fictional. So it's like, or fictional, excuse me, not fictional, but fictional. And it's like, what the hell, dude? There's so much stuff put into this game, or I should say four games, because there's a fourth game tied into buying the remake trilogy. So that's really cool. But again, the combat zones are boring, and they're actually smaller than Infection, Mutation, and all that stuff. It's not just a giant map anymore. It's a series of mini rooms with locked doors. And I hate the, it's like Chun system or whatever. Like, you have to kick these Poro looking things.
Yeah.
And their currency to open locked doors. And it's like, fuck, man. So annoying. It's so easy, but so annoying. And the zones are reused. Like, they rename them because in Dahak, you put three words together and it unlocks a zone and you can travel to that zone. And so, like, you'll do different keywords and you'll get the same fucking zone. So it's like, they don't even try to, like, hide it, recolor it, add different trees, nothing. It's the same thing. And I'm like, you motherfuckers, like, you knew what you were doing, at least in the first GU game. I don't know if it gets better, but, and the guilds are more interesting in this. Like, there's more story tied into the guilds, I would say, than Sign. Like, Sign has a lot of, like, the big players from the guilds in the story, but GU involves, like, whole guilds this time. It's really, like, Moontree is the PvE guild, but they have, like, this kick-ass, like, Japanese samurai era guild home. It's called an at-home, and it looks badass. Like, I remember the manga and the game, the set looks so beautiful. But yeah, it's awesome. It's an awesome series. Trung, I know you've played it. What do you have to say about it?
I really enjoyed the class that Haseo plays as. He's the Adept Rogue. So how Adept Rogue works in the world too is that, you get to choose, like, as you're creating the character, you can choose different types of weapons you want your class to, like, advance and, you know, master it. The thing about Adept Rogues is that they're not as good as the base class that uses those weapons, but they can swap between weapons whenever they want, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Master of None.
Yeah. And Haseo chose three different weapons. He chose the dual daggers, which makes him look like a rogue. He chose the great sword. And then he also chose the scythe because he's an edgy boy. So yeah,
super.
Yeah. So the cool thing about the game is that as you progress through these, because .hat GU, as Ryan mentioned, has three different parts. The first part is you unlocking the great sword. And then the second part is you unlocking the scythe. And then the third part, the leader of the Moon Tree Guild or whatever, he hacks, because he's actually a hacker, he hacks the game and lets Aseo get a fourth weapon, which is not supposed to happen, which are dual guns, which is super cool. Because he gets to like the gameplay for each one of these weapons is very different, and they translate it really well in the games too.
True.
Yeah. Yep. Like the scythe is really great at AoE. The greatsword is really good at like breaking stuff, and the daggers are nimble and stuff. But that part of the game was really cool. I didn't really care for the avatar fights. They were kind of boring.
Yeah. Like, they're like, aren't they like, the button mash at the right time?
Is that it was? It was like a needlessly long fight of just, you know, shooting projectiles at each other, or just, yeah, or just running it down and just like swinging your scythe.
Sounds like another party, you know?
Yeah. the avatars were cool. Like just in general, because each one of them represents the epitaph of Twilight. Like, yeah. Skeeth is the sin of wrath, which you'll understand because Aseo is a really vengeful person.
And it's the same one that put Orca in a coma.
Yeah, Skeeth is like always the first phase, I think.
Yeah. So it's like all these like little tie-ins, you know. If it's not Haseo being Sora or that other character that's like modeled off of Elk, that's modeled off of Tsukasa, you have the phases like making a resurgence.
I like all the games are like somehow tied together, which is pretty cool. I like the whole, you know, the words picking your dungeon, but yeah, they were pretty lazy with GU. So
yeah,
so you had like repeats and reused assets.
I felt like Infection was better just because like Height Story dealt a lot with the Lost Grounds. So like, you know, putting those like forbidden words into the gate, and then you show up to a map that's like glitched out, like half of the map's like code and shit like that, and you know, yeah, something's about to happen. It was terrifying going to those zones underleveled. Like I remember like regretting it so much. But because like the way it works, like enemies are on the map. If they notice you, you fight. It doesn't go into a different instance. You like fight then and there. It's real time. But and there's some sinister stuff there. But GU, it's like they mention the Lost Grounds a little bit. You kind of go to a couple just to see Tri-Edge and like Ovan. But yeah, they're definitely lazy trung. But this, at least the first, like I would probably guess like one or two games, like
yeah,
the same fucking map.
And then, you know, I can't talk about .hack GU without talking about Rengeki, which is your abilities that you activate in the middle of combat.
That you scream.
Yeah. Like, do you scream it? I think it's the announcer that goes, Rengeki! And then,
yeah, it's the announcer.
And it's
yeah,
always super hype for me. And, you know, it goes into like a slows down time, and then you just beat the crap out of whoever you just, you know, decide to unleash your hell upon.
Yeah, and your party members go like, way to go, Haseo.
Wow, you did it. Wow. So overall, you know, GU games are great. The only thing you have to kind of bear with is Haseo's going to yell Adelie or Shino every 2 seconds.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, it's rough until Haseo like kind of not lets go of Shino, but isn't so urgent about Shino's situation. Yeah. Where he like it's like less sufferable of a character.
Yeah, like I mean the throughout the games he kind of grows up. So you
yeah,
that's what you play in the games for, is to like see the character progression.
Yeah, he's like Sora in Kingdom Hearts like that. Like they, you know, their character physically grows through the titles.
He gets more mature over time, and he gets less edgy over time.
Yeah, less of a pompous ass. So, and they kind of like jettison it in the game. Like I'm already doing stuff for Karnad. I can't remember, but basically it's when you start the game, after you get PK'd and you get data drained, you meet these two players who think you're a noob until they find out you're actually the Terror of Death. But like you take over their guild because their guild is pretty much, it's a PvE only guild meant for, you know, bringing up new players. So like in Simple MMO, they have academy, like big guilds have academy guilds that do the same thing. They like train newbies and shit. So he's already breaking out of his shell and becoming a guild leader, and playing with players who are, you know, nowhere near his play style in the beginning. So like they're already showing growth within like an hour of the game. So it's like, oh, okay. I don't really remember this because I was younger, but I was like, oh, okay, this is better. Yeah, this is pretty good. But yeah. Anything else with that, Trung, for GU?
I think that's just for GU.
And you didn't watch Roots, right?
I did not. All the story that I know from GU is just on the game.
Damn, dude. I wish, like, so the manga is really good. You have to read scans because
it's. Oh, no, I read that one. I think you let me borrow them too. I'm pretty sure I read those.
Oh, dude. No, those were the LNs. So we had the LNs of GU, which were just like another birth. Cause, like, dude, the team behind Da Hack and their media was really good. So the LNs were on point, but the manga I read through like Manga Fox or something at the time. But yeah, no, the LNs are good. I still have a couple in my chest, actually. I don't know if I have all of them, but I think there's like three or four. But yeah, we read those. But I wish you lived near me so we could like couch binge Sign and GU.
I did at some point.
I know. It's a shame. If you ever come to visit me, that's what we'll do.
Just binge .hack.
Yeah. Nothing else matters. we do our one food run, and then we just watch GU or Roots and Sign. But yeah, so that's it for like the main series in the games tied into them in the universe as a whole. We wanted to do some honorable mentions because they're like Trung said, there's a lot to the story.
Oh yeah.
There's Da Hack Legend of the Twilight, which we talked about. You know, it was more lighthearted and fun. It was on Toonami as well. There's Da Hack AI Buster. I believe it's a manga, and it tells Orca's story, well, Orca and Balmung, about how they defeated Morgana before Kite came into play. So, like, essentially, like, all the series are kind of like a rebirth of legendary players, you know, attempting to save the world and their friends from a sinister, like, defect in the game. There's Da Hack Zero, which reveals what happened to Haseo as Sora. So essentially Haseo, he went into a coma and lost memory from Da Hack Sign era. So like Tsukasa from Da Hack Sign eventually leaves the game, but Haseo gets trapped in the game as Sora. But then he eventually comes to and he's able to play, you know, the new edition. It's called the World R2, and that's in GU. So Da Hack Zero reveals what happens to Haseo and also Tsukasa when she's able to log out finally. So that's an interesting story, and I can't find it anywhere. It's like you can literally only find it in the wiki page.
Maybe it's Japanese only.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it never got translated. You're right. But that's like the meatiest one. Like, I want to know because it's not told anywhere. But yeah, because it's like it's mentioned in passing that Haseo was Sora from Da Hack Sign. You're like, what? And Haseo's like, I don't remember any of that. And it's like, what? How the fuck do you not? But anyway, and that's it for honorable mentions. That's it for Da Hack. Again, one of our favorite universes to explore and reminisce about. Like, we're always fucking talking about it because, Trung, isn't it a shame, dude? Like, there's no modern Da Hack series.
Yeah, they just stopped. They just abruptly stopped making anything about that series, which is kind of sad.
Yeah. And I think it's because, you know, shit like Sword Art Online and then all, you know, Log Horizon, like all these spinoffs with I'm trapped in a game. Or I got isekai'd in a game. Like, I think the market finally caught on to like what Da Hack was about. And just, you know, diluted the waters. Like, there's just so much of it now. Like, even now there's like isekai's, you know, I'm a spider now. I'm a slime. I'm a fucking chair. Like, I'm a carpet, like a whatever. Fridge. Like, yeah, I'm a fucking fridge with like an LCD screen. But I think that's what happened. Cause like, what would the modern dot hack look like now? That hasn't, you know, that's not like the shield hero who's facing, you know, monster or epic beasts that are going to come and destroy the world, you know, all that shit. So it's like, what would it look like that hasn't already been portrayed?
I was going to say, what GU or what dot hack does really well for me is that there's no constant barrage of fan service in your face. Female characters aren't just like super in love with the hero or anything. They're just friends. They're legitimately just trying to help them out. They're not damsels in distress or anything.
Black Rose was sick. The naive chick from Sign, who is like the guild leader with like the little fairy wings and an axe.
Yeah.
She's so naive, but then she's like snaps out of it for Tsukasa and was just like, fuck this. And like goes ham. But there's no fan service, I will say. And there's no filler either. It's like every episode meant something.
And then
every game meant something. So
everything was really fleshed out, had a purpose. And yeah, like they made Dot Hack was really good about making like characters that were respectable instead of just being a giant pair of personalities.
Tits. Oh,
it's like, oh my God, this guy's a protagonist. So I have to fall in love with him. Right. Even though there's five other female members in the group.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say Sword Art was like the closest to Dot Hack.
The first season just was because, good.
Yeah, the first season, hands down, was amazing. Especially with like the coma thing going on.
Yeah.
But
and then the permanent deaths.
Permanent deaths kind of like upped the game a little. I guess that kind of like advanced because Dot Hack never really had. I mean, you could die in a coma, but like it wasn't really.
It wasn't immediate risk, you know.
Yeah, I wasn't really led on to like make you believe that everyone was just fucking dying. But I it's a shame, dude. I wish they would, I don't know, maybe show like do a series of like what, you know, like a mini series of like what their lives are like now, cuz like how much your life changes after, you know, like cuz we don't see Kite anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said offline, like how do you ever log in again after what you did for Orca and Black Rose?
Yeah, like it's a near death experience. Would you really like risk your life to play a game like that anymore?
I know, like it's like nah, I'm playing Minecraft for the rest of my life. But it would be interesting to see like some backstory or like some side story where like Kite is doing well and so is Black Rose and Orca and like maybe the world has, you know, become a whole new version like R3 and they're like observing it and commenting on it. Like what's the next thing that's going to happen? You know, why is this game not shut down yet? So I don't know. I just miss it. I miss the series and it sucks that you can only revisit some of it. Cause again, like the books and stuff were hard to find now. And they're obviously slapped with a bigger price tag because they're sitting in some dude's basement or on a bookshelf and they're like, you know, with free shipping, but it's $50 for like 4 books. And it's like, I don't like that, bud. But at least you can reread the manga on scan sites. So that's cool.
I remember the two of us were like hoping that the world would be a real game someday.
Yeah. And it's scary. Like we're not close. We have VR. Like we have VR now, but, I think we'll be able to see some type of the world in our time with the aging of VR. So then we'll really be talking about, you know, Dot Hack again.
For real.
Yeah. But yeah, that's it for Dot Hack. That's it for the episode. So, you know, thanks to everyone in the Discord that stopped by.
This is running for like an hour long.
This was a big one.
Thank you guys for your patience.
I was telling Trung, like, how fast can we do this, brother? And I was like, nope. We're boned. So, yeah. Thanks for everyone in the Discord who stopped by to listen to us chat about Dot Hack Live. Even if you probably have never heard of Dot Hack before in your life. Definitely a series worth diving into. If you have Hulu, start there. Watch Sign and Roots. They're subbed, so it's perfect. But yeah, that's it. So again, thank you to all of our listeners, all of our fans, all of our Anchor supporters. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for everyone who's left a review. We would love more reviews, whether it's through Apple or better yet on our website. We have it linked in our show notes. You can go to our website and just leave a, you know, a wacky review there, and we'll shout you out on Twitter and in the show itself. So please consider doing that. It helps us out a lot. Follow us on Twitter. Again, join our Discord server where we record live like we are tonight. We post a lot of our news here that's reflected from our website. We post, you know, our schedule here. If we luckily we had a schedule this week, yeah. Usually we don't, but we post our schedule here. We post announcements. We post game sales and news. So that Final Fantasy login event will be posting up there with our Final Fantasy info. If anyone wants to play with us again, when we start playing RuneScape, it'll be posted in the Discord and on the website. So keep your eyes open if you want to play RuneScape with us. Check out our website. Like I've been saying, it's like a deeper version of our Discord where you'll get guest info, blog posts about like games we're playing, merchandise, stuff like that. And again, where you can leave a review and also listen to whole episodes there instead of using Anchor or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're doing homework like I do, or working from home like I do, I hope no one from work's listening to us, but I just go through our episodes because it's very relaxing. Yeah.
Not narcissistic at all.
Nope. Not narcissistic at all, bro. What did you say? Narcissist what? But and again, the links to all of everything I just said can be found in our show notes and through our website, which is also linked through our show notes. So that wraps it up. Another great episode, Trung.
Oh yeah.
Glad to be back in the digital studio. And we'll hope to see everyone in the next one. Peace.
Later, everybody.